Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in another new podcast host here at the station, our buddy Joe Patrick. Joe, congratulations. I was listening earlier on the station, and it sounds like the people got themselves a little weekend homework assignment to do.
Hey, that's right. That's right. Head over to Joe Patrick on Football. Really creative name, I must say. But it passes legal. That's the most important thing in the podcast world.
Well,
but
there's, yeah, just what the word direct, means, another Joe, podcast. But it's direct. People, there's
that's
no
right,
frills,
right,
man.
You know, in all honesty, exactly. That's exactly right. I am of the mantra of, like, you just do, say the most direct thing. Don't do some flowery thing where people don't understand. Just tell them it's going to be me talking about football, specifically Falcons football, which, as you know, Chris, you know, it's just the world never stops turning in the world of the Falcons.
No, and that's why we chat twice a week, because there's always stuff to chew on, including our tight end, Joe. It's been another fun week. We talked about it on Monday. We're going to talk about it again right now. It seems like all the stuff that was starting to bubble and simmer over the top has sort of leveled off over the last couple of days. Do you feel like now, maybe looking back in hindsight, some of that reporting was not hearsay, because that's not fair, but just sort of general comments about a particular situation? Or do you still feel like there may be some juice worth to squeeze out of this story?
Yeah, I think it caught a lot of traction for a lot of reasons, honestly. But yeah, I mean, I think Albert Breer said it best, which is in one of his reports earlier this week, which is that, you know, this is a story that is kind of built to pick up steam in the month of June specifically, which in the NFL world is not typically a month where pretty much anything major happens outside of maybe some outstanding free agent quarterbacks that potentially sign with teams like we saw yesterday. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, it was curious to me, honestly, Chris, like with the way that this whole thing started with him, you know, kind of surprisingly not being, you know, appearing with the team at OTAs. And then we later found out that, you know, he apparently had a foot injury that he was getting treatment on. That still, like, it is kind of confusing to me. And that's for that reason I say that I don't think that, like, this is a story where it's like, oh, we were all kind of duped and there was never anything to this. No, I think there was something to it. But I think that, I think a lot of people, and not to say like I didn't do this, but I just think a lot of people felt like it was like something was maybe more on the precipice than it ultimately was. And I always said it like this: when this initially was kind of happening, I was thinking, you know, if there's a good chance of, you know, Kyle Pitts going, to me, that's like a 20% chance. Like, that is a very high chance of a player moving in Kyle Pitts' position. Again, on a team where, you know, he's going into an affordable fifth-year option year with a team that needs to perform and make the playoffs. And that's why I, you know, upon reflecting on it more, it never really made sense that something was going to come to fruition here. Because think about it, put on your hat, your GM hat, if you're Terry Fontenot, or put yourself in Raheem Morris's shoes, where it's a make or break year for you, most likely. Like if you don't make the playoffs, you're probably on the outs. And if that's the case, then is Kyle Pitts a player you can afford to just let walk for, you know, it could be a draft pick, but there's no guarantee that you'd be around to use that draft pick. And so if you're them, I would imagine that you want as much on-field value as you can possibly have, and trading Kyle Pitts away for picks ultimately wouldn't be great value. Now, if there was, you know, that's why someone was going to have to come in with an ultimate, you know, Godfather-like deal, and it just never felt, given Pitts's history, kind of who he is as a player, it never felt like a team was going to come out and do that, considering he's going to be a free agent here in a year, most likely.
On June 10th, on the first day of mandatory minicamp, will the Falcons' backup quarterback be in attendance?
I don't know your opinion on this, Chris. I don't know if I've heard it, but I do think he will be there. I think that, you know, Kirk Cousins is a guy who will do everything he's supposed to, right? And he's not necessarily, quote-unquote, supposed to be at OTAs. You'd like him to be at OTAs. You'd like every player to be at OTAs. Actually, I don't know if you'd like him to be at OTAs. I'm checking myself on that. But for most players, you know, you want to see him at OTAs. But, you know, there's no obligation that they have to be there. But I think Kirk Cousins will, again, kind of like showing up for the first day of the offseason workouts and kind of, you know, making his presence known, I guess, in that effect to the public. I think that, you know, he will show up for minicamp, and I don't think he's going to be a problem for this team. You know, like, again, when they need him, when he's supposed to be there, I think he will be there and do his job. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that that for sure means that he's going to be, you know, continue to remain on the team, but I don't think that he's going to want to pay a fine when he doesn't really have to.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head, Joe. Because it involves money, Kirk Cousins will be in attendance.
Right, exactly.
If this was not involving money, he would not be in attendance.
Chris, it's amazing just having covered the NFL. And, like, you know, Arthur Smith has spoke about this on the record at times where, you know, there was, you know, there were times where he really wanted to vent about referees or whatever it was. But, you know, he doesn't want to give the, you know, his money away, basically. And so, I mean, it makes total logical sense, I think, for all of us, basically.
All right, so when it comes to the state of the offensive line, Joe, it is finally intact with Newsill signing his deal. All right, so now that we know that this is officially official, do you feel like the Falcons still have, even though with the change from Dahlman to Newsill, one of the, I don't know, I think they're regarded as, let's call them, a top five line in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do. You know, It kind of hinges on a couple things. Newsill is obviously one of them. I mean, you need to see continued improvement from Matthew Bergeron. I think if you look at some of the reviews, basically, of his second year, it's kind of up and down. But I think that he actually has progressed quite a bit from his first year. And I think that he's been more consistent. I remember seeing him get beaten pretty badly at times in his first year. And I don't remember that happening so much last year. And so he needs to continue to improve, but I think that he can, and he will. And he is, as we know, a fiery guy who, you know, has that motivation, as we saw him kind of get in that OTA scuffle with David Onyemata. And then the other thing that this kind of hinges on is actually Caleb McGarry, who also, by the way, has not shown up to OTA. He's gotten a lot less notoriety for doing so than some of the other players like Kyle Pitts and Kirk Cousins. But, you know, they need him to play well, especially now because he's, you know, obviously protecting the blind side of Michael Penix, which, you know, I talked to Dwayne Ledford, and he said that it's not, the whole blind side thing is not as big of a deal for this particular Falcons team because they run so much pistol. Like, they're basically a pistol slash shotgun offense at this point, and so the quarterback has a better perspective from that alignment and feel for where, you know, that quote unquote blindside edge rusher is coming from. But certainly, you know, McGarry has to continue to, you know, show the improvements that he has shown, to be fair to him, over the last couple of years in the pass protection area. But other than that, I think this is actually a good deal by the Falcons to kind of pivot off of Drew Dolman and go on to Ryan Neuzel. And it's not necessarily that Ryan Neuzel is a, you know, quote unquote, better player than Drew Dolman. I do think he's better than Drew Dolman in some areas, but ultimately I think that it makes sense for the team to essentially, you know, take a lottery ticket shot basically on perhaps unproven player, though he did obviously have those 8 starts last year. It's just, you, no NFL team can pay every single one of their offensive linemen top money and expect to also be able to pay top money to a bunch of, you know, important players on the perimeter that score all these points and on defense, obviously. So I think it's a positive move. And Chris, while we're on the topic of Ryan Neuzel, sorry I'm ranting here, but I know you'll appreciate this in particular. I was talking to him when we were at OTAs earlier this week about, you know, his improvements and kind of what he's learned, you know, what goes into playing center, because he came initially to Atlanta as a guard. And Matt Hennessy, the then center, kind of took him under his wing, he told me, and improved. But he said, and this is what you'll appreciate, he was talking about all the things, and I was like, you know, what is it, you know, what do you have to improve, like your punch height, this stuff, and he was like, well, first and foremost is the snap.
Ah, yes.
And it's easy to forget, you know, that Drew Dolman, you had to brace yourself for at least one just terrible snap per game that was going to cause mayhem in the backfield. So we'll see if Ryan Neuzel is any better at that.
I did not forget, Joe. Because you and me, we talked about this week in and week out, and it just seemed to slide under the radar that we had perhaps the worst snapping center in football history, and I just couldn't believe it. We're talking with our buddy Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out the new podcast, Joe Patrick on Football, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, bigger area of weakness slash concern, corner slash nickel depth or interior defensive line depth?
That's a great question. I'm actually going to go with the interior line depth. And it's not necessarily that they don't have guys there, but I think that it's harder to find the physical bodies that can withstand like what it takes to succeed at the NFL level at that position. And I think that, you know, with that corner, I think that, you know, with Mike Hughes on that outside corner, I think the team really likes what he brings, even though he's not like a great, like sticky coverage guy. He brings a physicality that I know that this team really loves in a way, even though he's not a super important player, not obviously not one of the highest paid players, but he kind of helps bring a physical identity to that defense and that secondary in particular. So I think the Falcons really like him. And I frankly like the options after the draft when you bring in Billy Bowman that they have at nickel, where you've got some guys who, you know, I think that people are obviously down on D. Alford because he had, you know, a very down year last year, but I am not as down on him because I think that the scheme can help him out a lot more. And if you were to ask D. Alford about it, I think that he would say that he can perform way better than he did last year if he's put in a better position. And that's where Jeff Ulbrich's going to be important. And it's not like you can't really scheme it up so much on the interior. You know, you just got to have guys who win. And Jeff Ulbrich says that. It's like, you know, you can do all this stuff, but ultimately at any position, really, you just need players who can win. And I think it's the hardest to find players who can win at the line of scrimmage. And that's why we see teams dedicate so many resources to those guys. And to be fair, the Falcons have put resources into that, even though it hasn't kind of resulted in value on the field with the likes of Ruka Roro and Brandon Dorlus. But that's why it's important that those guys are going to have to step up and really be important players for the team this year.
All right, Joe, appreciate the time as always. We'll be checking out the new podcast and we will chat on Monday.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Chris. Thank you for accommodating my golf schedule. Again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As always, man. Go hit them straight, as they like to say.
Thanks, Chris.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, man, let's talk to B-Mac. He is our guy and, of course, CBS NFL analyst. Two-time Super Bowl champion. B, you know what the news is, and I want to get your opinion now. Do not be biased. You like the Aaron Rodgers move? We've been talking about it all offseason, and now that it's here, do you really like it for the Steelers?
Yes, I like it, and here's why. And I'm not being biased, guys, but hear me out. I like it because he's a better quarterbacking option than Skylar Thompson and Mason Rudolph. I like it because he gives you more to hope for with the season. Do I believe the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers is a legit Super Bowl champion? Nope, I do not. But I believe with Aaron Rodgers, he gives you the element of hope, hoping that you see competitive play, hoping that you see some type of consistency, and giving a reason for fans to stand when they're watching the Steelers play. You wouldn't have that same hope if you knew you were going to battle with Mason Rudolph as your day one starter or Skylar Thompson, whoever came out of camp in the QB1 role. So that's why I like it. It makes sense. He was the best available option. And like I said, even though he's at the end of his career, let's keep it real, he's a better quarterback than Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson.
It is funny, B, because like 2 months ago, we were having conversations about maybe Shador Sanders will fall to the Steelers in the first round. Now, meanwhile, they're going to get all their eggs in the basket. We were saying earlier, everyone loves Coach Tomlin. He's the kind of guy you'd love to have repping your team. But if we're honest, that resume has gotten real thin. They're not winning playoff games. How much pressure is on him this year? It's almost like it's Super Bowl or bust.
There's no pressure on Mike Tomlin because if things does not work out, it wasn't like you thought they would work out. That's the thing. Because even with Aaron Rodgers, like I said, they're not a Super Bowl champion, contender. You guys feel the same way. All the listeners that are driving in the car listening to me, they feel the same way. So if they don't reach that pinnacle throughout the year, you're not disappointed because you didn't expect that. Now, to your point, Steelers fans are very, very spoiled. Look at it like this. If you were born in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, and as of late 20 years ago, you've seen the Steelers win a championship if they've been your favorite team. How many fan bases can say that? Think about it. Not many, right? So because of the success, past success, they want more every year, and that's what they expect. That's why you hear these speculations year in and year out when you talk about the one-and-done scenarios in the playoffs. What's going on with Mike Tomlin? As of right now, Mike Tomlin's seat is not hot, and it won't be hot if things don't work out this year.
Ooh. Brian McFadden, let me ask you this.
That's a bold prediction.
It is. Because you played on Super Bowl teams. You talk about Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers, and they're not a contender, or at least, you know, in our minds. And you're right. I do feel
right
that
now.
Way. I think, yes, I think they're better because he is a better quarterback overall. But when did you know? When did you guys know when you were on those teams that we got a real shot? Because I think it happens before you get to the 7-0s, 8-0s, 10-1, the record. You start to get a sense, right, of like, this is coming together. And I say that because you're right. The Steelers right now, I don't see them as that. But teams, as the season gets going, hell, in 16, we didn't think the Falcons were a Super Bowl team.
Right.
But as the season moved, we were like, okay, man, this offense is crazy. Defense is halfway decent. Like, you start feeling good. When did you guys know?
Well, we knew, and I'll say this with both cases, in both cases, with the two Super Bowl teams I was a part of. We actually knew Mike Carr before we got to week one. We
really?
Knew once training camp. Yes. We knew once training camp was over, and here's why we knew. Number one, the level of competition. Every day, it didn't matter how mentally drained or physically drained we were. Every day, the level of competition was intense. It was like every day we're fighting for our life in terms of remaining as a starter or a role player trying to become a starter. Number two, we saw how much depth we had every area on the football field. And you know, you guys know this watching the game, depth is super important, especially when guys go down. And you know guys will go down. Injuries will happen. So we saw the depth that we had throughout our team. We saw how intense the competition was. And all that did was build confidence. So we felt like, you know what? No one is really thinking we have a shot, especially the second Super Bowl, because the second Super Bowl, we went this strength of schedule out of every NFL team.
That year you guys had the hardest schedule? That year?
The hardest schedule. That 2008 season, we had the hardest schedule. People were saying, prediction-wise, before the season kicked off, we probably would finish third in the division, best case scenario. Because the year before, remember in 2007, the Browns made the playoffs with Derek Anderson. So they came in, returning a lot of their key contributors. Of course, Baltimore was Baltimore. Cincinnati was Cincinnati. So most people said best case scenario for the Steelers with this schedule, they're going to finish third. But we knew coming out of camp, yo, we're better than what people think. And it, as you said with the Falcons, that Super Bowl run, you guys started to see it in the midst of the season. Like, wow, they actually got a shot. But we felt that way coming out of training camp before week one.
Okay. Wow, man. Three Pro Bowlers on that team, of course, go on to beat the Arizona Cardinals down in Tampa.
Great Super Bowl.
Historic Super Bowl. Our man, B-Mac, Brian McFadden's with us, guys. We spent a lot of time, B-Mac, talking about Kyle Pitts. A lot of stories the last couple of weeks about he may be on the trading block. He has an injury. Next week, it's mandatory minicamp. Would you trade Kyle Pitts, or would you make him sort of sing for his supper? We were talking about this the other day, maybe get a compensatory pick. I want to keep him and see what he can do for one more year. How would you play it with Kyle Pitts?
Yo, I never heard that one, sing for his supper. I never heard that one before. You know, it depends on what you're getting in return, guys. Let's keep it real. If you're getting a nice pick in return, I think you got to entertain that because, to your point, if you want to see what Kyle Pitts has, because no one will ever question the potential of Kyle Pitts, the athleticism of Kyle Pitts. He just hasn't been able to put it all together outside of his rookie year. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, he puts it together this year. For whatever reason, things start to fall in his favor. You know what type of contract he's going to ask for. So if you're Atlanta, if you're not willing to pay him top echelon tight end money, right, and you have other teams thinking about a pretty good pick in return, if you trade him, I think you gotta entertain that. Now, if you're Atlanta, if you're Terry Fontenot, and you say, you know what, if Kyle Pitts gives us 900 yards and 8 touchdowns, he's probably going to ask for decent money. Heck, if he gives us 1,200 yards and 6 touchdowns, he's going to ask for decent money. Are we willing to pay him that, knowing that he's been up and down, to say the least? If that's a question that you strongly got to consider, you don't know the answer to, then you got to entertain what other teams are offering you.
Anthony Richardson's going to be sidelined for mandatory minicamp.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord.
So, Daniel Jones, they signed him in the offseason. I think Daniel Jones has a really good opportunity to start, and not just because of this situation, but I don't think Anthony Richardson is helping himself.
Nope.
Where are you at on this?
Man, I feel the same way. I feel if Anthony Richardson was healthy and wasn't going to miss any time, Daniel Jones was going to win that job. That was Daniel Jones' job to lose. When you make it known that it's a legit competition, when you break in a guy who has started the majority of his games as in his career, you're letting Anthony Richardson know, bruh, you better bang it. You better bring it. And now he's hurt. OTAs, bruh, everything is on air. There's not legit competition. It's not intense right now, OTAs. You guys know that. You guys see Atlanta practice in OTAs. Now he's hurt. Now when you look at everything that has happened with Anthony Richardson in his career, he tapped out because he said he was tired. That's one thing. Yeah. You never tell in a game, I need to come out and I'm tired. And you play quarterback. You got to be a receiver doing something like that, not the quarterback. Number two, offseason, he went and put himself to sleep for a full body tattoo. Right? He was healthy then. Now, as you get ready to get into the meat and potatoes of your offseason, now you're hurt. Now I'll say this to Anthony Richardson's defense. They did him an injustice in how they drafted him, knowing that he only had 13 starts at Florida and gave him the keys, didn't allow him to go through the process. Now, you're ready to kick ties on him. That's not right. You should allow him to really go through the process because he lacked reps. But it didn't work out. Now you're ready to move on. And Anthony Richardson, he just can't stay healthy. And that's going to be an issue for him, especially this year, especially with Daniel Jones there.
Yeah, man, they're going to make him sing for his supper car. By the way, that's my Northern Irish grandma said that, so I don't know where it comes from. It's stuck in my head, B. Hey, man, before we cut you loose, man, looks like Kirk Cousins is going to be with this team. I know we've asked you before. Real quick, no distraction, right? They're just players are like, hey, that's how Kirk plays his game. Maybe he lies about his health. That's just okay. There'll be no weirdness to have Kirk Cousins here the rest of the summer and maybe waiting for somebody to have an injury at quarterback, and maybe we can still trade him.
Yeah, that's going to be the case because, to your point, before Aaron Rodgers became a Steeler, I think that was the most valuable option to Pittsburgh. But even if Kurt is here throughout training camp as you go through preseason, Kurt will not be a distraction. That's not his DNA. That's not his football personality. Clearly, he wants to start. He's made that known, and he wants an opportunity to be able to show he can still start. That will not happen in Atlanta as long as Michael Penix is healthy. It won't happen at all. So if you're Terry Fontenot, you just kind of hold on to Kirk Cousins until the right opportunity presents itself, because it's not just moving Kirk Cousins. You got to move that $39 million salary as well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, not hopefully, but for Atlanta, you're waiting for an injury to present an opportunity for Kirk Cousins to move on. And as of right now, that's not happening, so he will remain an Atlanta Falcon. But I don't see him being a distraction at all.
Before we let you go, update on the camp. It's this weekend, guys. What's going on? Tell the people how they can get more info.
Yes, sir. This weekend, we actually kicking off this afternoon at Milton High School at 6 p.m. We have an NIL financial recruiting seminar as well. We have different financial people coming in to speak to the parents and the prospects about different accounts that they could look to set up. We have NIL, you know, folks talking about, as a high school prospect in the state of Georgia, you can reap the benefits of your name, image, and likeness. What to do in those cases when you have 92.9 the game reaching out to you and want to pay you for some segments. You know, how should you handle the payments, tax ramifications on these NIL opportunities, and then recruiting as well. You know, a lot of these parents, guys, they don't know the proper questions to ask these coaches that are selling their kid every dream in the book. You know, I understand parents want to know how much money they can get. But what about the football side of things? What's the depth chart looking like? Is this a committable offer? You're offering my son, but if he wanted to commit today, would you say, yes, we'll take him? Or would you say, no, not right now? Because a lot of kids out here, when you look at social media and they're posting 20 and 40 offers, all of those offers are not real. And these kids are not aware of that. So these are the things we want to disclose to them before we get on the grass on Saturday and Sunday. Hit me up on my social media account if you want any information. BMAC_SportsTalk on X, Instagram, Facebook. Inbox me. I can give you any information that you might need to know. If you want to register, still time to register.
Great job. BMAC, enjoy the weekend. Great job, and good luck with the camp this weekend, brother.
Thank you.
I'm going to be there Sunday, Carl. I'm doing a seminar on how to trip a receiver as he passes you.
Okay.
As a corner.
I think guys are going to pick up on that pretty good.
My skill set.
Yeah, he's right about all those offers, man. I mean, right. Look, I don't want to bang on anybody's, you know, success. But back in the day, we used to get letters. And you'd get all these letters, Mike, and they weren't offering.
No.
They were just saying, hey, we see you. You look good. that's pretty much. And everybody would be like, man, I got this letter from Michigan. And you'd be right. Like, okay.
No, you got a letter from me.
It didn't mean anything. And now it's all digital, right? Now it's right. All digital. All right, man, we got more to dive into. More NFL news. The Aaron Rodgers stuff is driving the day with the NFL. More on our Braves as well. But when we come back, a huge potential deal in the NBA that could affect the Hawks. Next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
10:02. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, we pulled a fast one on Chipper. I mean, there's no question the guy was not going to come on if it was just steak. Sandra, of course, the queen of Atlanta Sports Radio, she's on the 10-day IL as of yesterday, Chipper. She had the voice situation, and I was like, we could tell Chipper Sandy's not going to be on, but then we may lose him, so let's just – Sandra's banged up, right? So, geez. That's how it goes sometimes. I know you don't want to come on here and talk about cheeseburgers with Steak Shapiro, but we crossed our fingers that you'd still talk to us. So,
what happened?
She's got lost her voice. That's all. And
okay.
So her husband and a lot of people probably relieved, but she did lose her voice. So, hey, what was it that irritated you the most as you were watching the regionals over the weekend in college baseball?
Oh, man, just...
Is there one transgression that bothers you more than the others, per se? I know you wrote the tweet about it. And sorry to cut you off.
No, not really. I think all of it in a whole, it's like I was, you know, you could watch one game and and find something to irritate you, and then switch it over to another game, and you know, a bunch of the same stuff is happening. It's just you know, a lot of stuff that is really unnecessary, you know, inside the lines. I mean, just play the game. I don't have a problem with kids having fun and, you know, enjoying the game, enjoying the experience. That's what you should be doing. But when it crosses the line, you know, I think something needs to be said. And you saw two coaches, I believe yesterday, had to make, you know, public apologies or issue apologies. I let you know something's not right.
Yeah, I mean, the folks, I read all the responses, and you do a great job of, you know, not being affected by that. More people agree to you than not. But others would say, Chipper, stop being, you know, the old traditional baseball guy. Baseball needs to breathe in some new fans, more fun, and a lot of these antics are what make college baseball different. And you're just being a guy, sounds like, in his 40s, 50s, or 60s that wants traditional baseball. So you don't count.
And that's fine. Yep. That's fine. I'm allowed my opinion just like they're allowed their opinion. If you don't like my opinion, move on or block me. I mean, that's perfectly okay. And I said that many times last night. You know, if you don't like my opinions, that's okay. You can comment on them and block me if you don't want to listen to my opinions anymore. But like you said, 80 to 90% of the people in my comments last night completely agreed with what I had to say.
Yeah. Like, to me, there's something – it's like, why do you shake hands with your opponent after a series or a game? You know, the NHL is one of the great traditions in all the sports. And why do you not unbutton your one is respecting your opponent's sportsmanship, which I still believe that's a pretty basic thing. You're not respecting your opponent when you are going out of your way to degrade them. And when you wear your shirt down to your belly button, you know, there's a reason it's called a uniform. There's a reason you look better. I mean, like, these are just basic things. You can be 80 years old or 21-year-old coach and still feel like those are important things in any sport.
Yeah, I think probably people disagree with me most about the uniform thing. I think that's part of being disciplined, is wearing the uniform the right way. And, you know, that's probably the least of my concerns. I mean, kids are going to be kids. I understand that. They're going to want to wear the uniform the way they want. But I know that if a coach says, "Fellas, we're gonna wear the uniform the correct way. We're not gonna wear our hats backwards on the field. We're gonna wear them frontwards. We're not gonna cover up the logo with our sunglasses because we represent the University of whatever." Those are things that some coaches do, and some don't, and. You know, it's just a personal preference of mine.
What's the most angry you can remember in the bigs of saying, like, that was way crossing the line in terms of disrespect, or guys that got way too mouthy out there? Are there a couple instances or guys that jump out at you?
Oh, boy.
You're sitting in a dugout, and you almost have to be restrained from wanting to go out there because so-and-so's acting out or, you know. And that's separate from throwing at a guy or whatever. But just like, you know, and by the way, when you were playing, it was not near what you see today. I mean, there's much less of it that era.
Right. Right. Because the pitchers had to hit, you know. And I think that curtailed a lot of stuff. There were instances. But, you know, mostly back in the day, it was just, you know, Darren Dreifert hitting Andres Galarraga a few times in a row, or you know, Carlos Zambrano, because, you know, we were lighting him up like a Christmas tree. He started hitting guys. Things like that will incur the wrath of the other team. As far as chirping, very little of that went, because pitchers had to grab a bat and hit back in the day, and they normally kept their mouth shut.
Yeah, not taking two steps towards the dugout to point at you in the third inning when you know he's going to be coming up in the top of the fifth or whatever it is.
Correct.
Chipper Jones is with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is, when you watch the Braves for, I don't know, close to 60 games, I want you to be more than basic. Obviously, we're not hitting, right? But is there something about this lineup that you're worried the most about of all the guys that are laboring a little bit?
I'm worried about Michael Harris. I'm seeing a lack of confidence. I'm seeing I'm not seeing competitive at bats. That's kind of the biggest thing for me. The guys in the middle, just the inability to string good at bats together in order to keep the line moving. A lot of three ups and three downs, inconsistency. That's the biggest thing. This team is pitching well enough from a starting pitching standpoint to be able to win games. But we're just not able to put those three facets. And when I say the three facets, hitting, starting pitching, and relief pitching, this team has played pretty good defense during the course of the season thus far. But the other three facets have been spotty.
All right, I want to play a Strider cut for you because, I've covered a lot of post games, covered you for years, obviously. It's great when guys take accountability. It's great when guys face the media, don't blame anybody. But he's starting to sound like, and there are those motivational speakers and whatnot, they'll say the more negative talk in your head, the worse you're going to perform. Here he is after the game. This is three or four games of telling himself, in my eyes, maybe you're not good enough.
Had spurts of good command. Despite, giving up so many hits, I thought I was pretty efficient for the first half. But I've said it before, stuff. Command without stuff is batting practice. So that's about what I offered up today.
And if you hear more of it, he's just talked about one start. He said, I don't deserve to be up here. Bryce Elder got sent down because of me. It's just a lot of negative talk about himself. As a guy that was one of the great hitters ever, and you were out 7 out of 10 times, or probably, 6.75 out of 10 times, right? What about being tough on yourself, and what about mindset as a player?
Well, he's down on confidence right now, and he is very hard on himself. And I like the to a certain extent the self deprecation. But here's the thing, and this is nothing new. Coming off of the Tommy John surgery, I've seen so many instances where said person struggles with feel. They haven't gone out there. In a year and a half, obviously he doesn't have 100 miles in his back pocket yet. I believe that will come. But the biggest thing is you see him struggling with feel. You don't see him hitting a lot of batters. You don't see him spiking breaking balls. That's all about feel, and you can have 90, you can get people out with 94, 95, but you better have the feel to be able to locate, and he just doesn't have that yet. It will come. It will come back along with, 4 or 5 miles an hour more on the fastball. It's just going to take some time. And I heard Snit say the exact same thing that I'm saying now in postgame, and he's 100% right.
When you're in the middle of a 2-for-22 and you didn't have massive slumps or whatever it is, and then you're in the middle of a 9-for-21, are you talking to yourself very differently in terms of, your respect to how you treat every at bat? Is there an up and down in terms of your psyche, or are you even keel on both ends of the spectrum?
Yeah, this is a huge swing game. This is a huge peaks and valleys game. I think my worst slump was maybe a 0-for-24, maybe a 2-for-29, somewhere in there. And you feel like, feel like you're never going to get another hit ever. You're just completely lost. And then other times, you know, you're
dialed in.
You're doing 90 to the ballpark. You're running to the bat back. It doesn't matter who's on the mound. You know, I'm getting two or three hits. It's just, and that's why it's important to be as even keeled through all these processes as possible, because you'll drive yourself crazy riding a roller coaster if you don't, you know? So people get on to us about being even keeled and, you know, just, we see it as being a pro, but everybody else sees it as being dull and boring. But I mean, for me personally, if I ride those roller coasters with my attitude on my sleeve, I'm going to drive myself nuts.
Chipper Jones with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going to All-Star Games on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I wish I was home with the family and had 4 days off, 10 being I love the whole experience. Where to go into All-Star Games and not having an All-Star break rank for you?
There are extenuating circumstances to that. I think a 12 if the game is in your home ballpark.
Well, yes,
that is
that's ideal.
That is huge. If you know you end up the first half in Boston and the All-Star game is in San Diego and you open up the second half in Philadelphia, you know, I'd probably put it on the, you know, the 2 or 3 range, especially if you're maybe a little banged up and could use the 3 or 4 days to kind of recharge your batteries. So a lot of extenuating circumstances. Once you get there and once you get in that clubhouse, there's nothing that beats it. You're with the elite in the game. You cherish the opportunity. But if, you know, if there's a lot of travel involved and you're a little banged up, it is a little difficult.
The 3 or 4 guys that you got friendly with because of All-Star Games that were one of the cooler things to happen in your career, either American or nationally, guys you didn't know prior that you started to build up or were like, wow, I didn't know he was like this until I got around those games. Are there a few guys that jump out of you?
Yeah, I think, if I had to point to one, it would be probably Gary Sheffield. Maybe some of our interactions through a few All-Star games were one of the reasons he wanted to come to Atlanta and play. And Gary and I still remain really good friends. I can remember when we had the All-Star game here in Atlanta in 2000, I became really good friends. My two locker mates were Jim Edmonds, center fielder from the St. Louis Cardinals, and Daryl Kyle, who passed away a few years later. And I just remember some of the conversations that we had. And, you know, I mean, didn't particularly like the Cardinals. We had some huge games with them in the postseason. And just getting to know them on a personal basis was a lot of fun. Learned a lot.
Anybody Hall of Fame weekends that are your, you know, top of the list that you get to, you've had the continued honor?
There's so many. I think sitting at that dinner table with Eddie Murray and Junior, Frank Thomas, Dave Winfield, Jim Tomey, Cal Ripken. I mean, that's those are good. All the guys at my table year after year.
Yep.
But the individual conversations with a Johnny Bench or a Reggie Jackson. Those are, you know, I won $20 off of Reggie Jackson in a golf game, and I won't tell you what he wrote on the $20 bill because it's not fit for radio or TV, but it's those kind of things that I'll cherish forever.
Would you put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame if it was your vote?
I knew that was coming.
Well,
yeah, it's really tough for me to say. I would have to talk to some of my brethren to
old-timers,
maybe see how they feel about it. I'm at the point right now where I'm holding out judgment until I speak to them, because it was the most sacred rule broken, and I'm not sure if we are ones to renege on you know, the punishment that was handed down. I'm just not sure where I stand on that yet. So I'm gonna talk to some of the fellas this summer, and maybe I'll have a better answer for you later on down the road.
All right, appreciate it, Chipper, always, and look forward to seeing you during All-Star festivities as well. Thanks for coming on.
All right, buddy, take it easy.
All right, that's Chipper Jones on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hopefully, always thoughtful and engaging, and a true sports legend here in the ATL. So, I didn't talk cheeseburgers with him. I gave the guy a break. I'm not talking Rubens. I mean, we actually talk baseball. So Sandy would be proud of me, I hope. We'll come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
But right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter of the AJC. D, last time we talked, this Kyle Pitts stuff was sort of starting to percolate. Now it's definitely reached the surface. What is going on? What do you know?
Yeah, he's got a strained foot injury by all accounts. He hasn't been at practice. They're allegedly listening to offers, but unless something blows them away, they probably are going to hold on to him. That's where we're at with the Kyle Pitts situation.
Doesn't it make sense, though, to at least give him a chance with Penix D? Because you can always – the thing with the money is you can always just franchise him at the end of the year, right?
Well, but you're not going to want to do that. Given his production, he wouldn't be worthy of that type of tag. But you do have at least to the trading deadline, I think, to figure out how this thing is going to work. And the other option is to let him go to the open market and then maybe try to match it if you don't want to tag him. So, yeah, they still have some options here. And the nuclear option would be to, trade him for whatever you can get right now.
Yeah, and I just think the reported Asti, at least from the reports that came out last week from Fox, were that the Falcons were looking for somewhere in the range of a day two pick. I would be stunned if they would get any sort of value like that. The other deal today, obviously, is Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh, D. That obviously leaves Kirk Cousins officially now without a real starting caliber spot that's open available. So what do you foresee the Falcons doing now? Is it just keep him as a backup, and if another team sustains an injury, that's when they'll listen to calls?
Yeah, we go through all those options on our story that's on AJC.com, and one of them I just had to update was the Steeler option. Now there's no apparent trade partner available for them, which would have been good if you could get somebody to buy it and do the deal and take, about $10 million out of salary. But $20 million, you're going to keep them. So at some point, Kirk got to realize, hey, they're not trading me. I'm the backup quarterback. Hey, do I report to minicamp, or do I, do I report to mandatory minicamp, or I just wait and show up at training camp in August and get my head together for that? That, hey, I'm the backup quarterback unless the market changes. So that's where they're at. That's where he's at. I don't see any obvious trading partner for him at a starting quarterback position, but, things happen. I was talking to Coach Mike Smith this morning. He said it was an awkward situation, but, they're 100% guaranteed that injuries will happen at some point, and, that would be, the most likely avenue for him. But it was also pointed out to me today, Turtle, that, hey, you thought, well, okay, they wouldn't trade to the Saints, would they? And you're like, oh, no, they wouldn't. But you got to remember Bill Belichick traded Drew Bledsoe to the Bills in division. You got to remember that Donovan McNabb was traded to the Commanders, Washington at the time, and they had another name. But they traded him in division too. So there's been precedent for trading in the division. But the Falcons traded to the Saints, that just would be so wild. But they do have a need at quarterback with Derek Carr being retired now.
So when it comes to Cousins, D, it just seems like he's been a player in his career that if you look at it, he does not let money go out of his pocket. And yes, we've all made the jokes, but in all seriousness, D, I feel like if you look at the track record of Kirk Cousins in his career, even if he might not be happy, he's not going to let, thousands, if not, close to $1 million be taken out of his pocket for missing days. At least that's what it seems like on the outside.
Yeah, no doubt. And it was explained to me, if he says, well, hey, this is horrible, I'm going to retire, that would be exactly what the Falcons want. Because they would be entitled to go get the proration of his signing bonus, which is $12.5 million, over the last 3 years of the deal. So my guy did the math for me, so I'm not bragging on the math here, but that's 37.5 million that my guy Joe Curry at CBS Sports. You know, that's 37.5 million that they'd be entitled to go back and get. So him retiring would be the absolute best scenario for the Falcons, and they would get salary cap relief. So he's got to get his head together, like, okay, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to go ahead and make this, you know, I already got the money. Make this situation the best I can. And then, you know, if something happens before the trade deadline, you know, maybe they'll do me a solid and send me on my way.
Talking all things Falcons with insider D. Orlando Ledbetter, our good buddy from the AJC. Make sure you check out his latest article on possible options for Kirk and everything else Falcons at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. All right, D, you've been covering this league a long time. To the best of your knowledge and your expertise, is this thing actually going to work with Rodgers in Pittsburgh? You think so?
I think it has the potential to work because they have a defense, so he doesn't have to go out and put up 40 points. I know Arthur Smith likes to run it back out of Iowa, so they got a running game. They'll figure that out. He has a running game wherever he goes, so they're going to be able to run. And then it's just going to be a matter of who's going to step up alongside of DK Metcalf, you know, in the receiving game when they do decide to play action pass and get it down the field. So, you know, I'm sure some of his old guys might show up there, Lazard and some of the guys he drug to the Jets with him that could still play. You know, Randall Cobb probably can't do it anymore. But, you know, whoever these other guys are, they're gonna be open, and he'll know how to get them the ball. So, and he's used to playing in the cold weather, so he's not afraid of AFC North in the weather situation. You know, he has to go toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow. I don't think you want to do that. But, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore slug it out every year. And then, you know, when he's going against Cleveland, you know, we don't know who that's going to be, Flacco, Shadur, Gabriel, or Kenny Pickett. So I think he's in a good spot.
I know you got a chance to talk with Julio Jones. What did he tell you about the new podcast that's been getting a lot of reaction online, especially some of the stories about the year of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, no doubt. Year of the Super Bowl was a big topic. We talked about it. I wanted to focus on his career first, you know, and then get to the dirt later because yeah. He had a great career and, you know, almost won the Super Bowl. You know, Matt Ryan took him in under his wing. You know, when he first got here, took him to his house, taught him the playbook because they were locked out that year. And so he was gracious to Matt, Thomas Dimitroff, Terry Rubisky, Mike Mularkey, all the coaches that helped him, you know, build the foundation for what was a good career and so forth. So he was gracious about that. And then I was like, hey, man, we got to talk about the trade. We got to talk about, you know, the contract situation at the end. And, you know, we did that. And I kind of saved that maybe for a later day. But, you know, he was no longer in the top echelon of the paid receivers. And he didn't think that was fair. And then with the trade, he wanted us some input. You know, he was getting worried back that he was being traded and nobody wanted to talk to him. Arthur Blank didn't want to talk to him. And they told him that the new regime would assess him. And as soon as Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith got in, they traded him. So the assessment was real quick because reportedly Arthur Smith didn't want him not practicing. Because, you know, at that point at the end, Julio had the hamstrings and didn't practice a lot. And you know, when you're a new coach, you want, you know, all the guys out there and so forth. So that was a big thing for Julio, big thing for the Falcons, and a bumpy ending to his great career here with the Falcons.
D, I saw a list today that Fox put out of the longest active playoff droughts in the NFL. After the Jets at 14 seasons, the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Saints are tied for second and third. Three out of the four teams in our division with 7, 7, and 4 seasons, respectively. How many of those three teams do you think make the playoffs this year?
Just one. Just one. Maybe the Jets, but one out of the NFC group can make it. NFC South group could make it. They got to overtake Tampa Bay. Nobody's been able to do that. But that would be my answer there. 7 years, that's a long drought for the Falcons, given that Mike Smith had them in position where they would go into the playoffs every year. And, you know, they just haven't been able to get that magic back together here.
If it doesn't work out, to the best of your knowledge, if this season isn't what they hope it would be, do you think they would consider making a change at both the GM and the head coach, or do you think it would be one or the other?
Yeah, I think we've seen that Arthur Blank will make change, so we know that that's going to happen if they don't meet expectations. He's pretty tough in that regard, and I think that the GM would be, you know, probably more on the line than Coach Morris, who you know, got 2 years to fix some of the mess that was inherited by the previous regime and then maybe exacerbated by bad drafting. So that's where I think we're at heading into this season. But if Michael Penix is Brock Purdy, then you forget about the fact that they gave Kirk Cousins all that money, just like the 49ers forgot about Trey Lance after Brock Purdy emerged. So Penix could make all of this great for all parties concerned.
D, before I let you go, there were a couple of games. Obviously, we've talked about them here on the station. I've talked about them with you and Duke Sabella and everybody else. Raheem Morris had a couple of bad games last year in terms of timeouts, in terms of calls.
Yeah, I'm not going there, Turtle. He's a good coach. He's a fine coach. He had a he explained that 17 seconds in Washington.
Sure.
I've been watching his career from his days in Tampa under Coach Dungy and Coach Gruden. I don't have any problems with the coach.
Okay. Yeah, my only question was going to be, do you think he's the type of coach who learns from those things and gets better this year? But based on your answer, it sounds like that's exactly how you feel.
Yeah, no doubt. He explained that. The kid didn't know how to speed up the offense, and he didn't want to run him into a blitz from Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. So once he explained it, all made sense to me. And, you know, sometimes folks don't listen and want to throw darts at the coach and so forth. I'm not a cheerleader, but I try to tell you what I see. And I don't have any problems with Coach Morris and his coaching staff. You know, I definitely have any problem with Coach Zach last year. Jimmy Lake, that's another issue. But Ulbrich, we're going to see if he learns some stuff in his hiatus in 5 years in New York. Going to see what this new defense is they're trying to put together and how they're going to attack people. So we'll get to see that early on this year. But as far as coach is concerned, I don't think they have any problems there.
All right. Great stuff as always, D. Appreciate you. Appreciate the time. And we'll talk soon.
Sure. No problem, Turtle. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Let's pivot for just a quick sec and talk some UGA football with our good buddy Jeff Centel, Dog Nation. Make sure you check out all of his insight there. Jeff, back where we belong. Bulldogs, SEC football recruiting, back to number one, overtaking A&M after landing Carter Lucky. How big of a get for the Bulldogs is that? And how much were you surprised that they were vaulted back into the top spot?
Well, first of all, Chris, it's great to be on. Even if this is a Braves, Bombay type program for you, maybe see the Chris Thomas experience might be talking about it. So let's talk about a program and let's talk about a team that doesn't give up, maybe lose seven recruits in the ninth inning or
yes,
the last quarter of recruiting. So it's kind of different, Chris. There's different, I guess, metrics and algorithms that determine, like, you know, who's the number one recruiting class in the country. Like, there's some of them, you know, the ones I kind of pay close attention to, man, are the ones that are kind of like a gumbo where they take a little bit of Rivals, a little bit of ESPN, a little bit of 24/7, and a little bit of On3. And, you know, even though Georgia's had like four recruits actually in the last week, they're sixth nationally and most of like the fifth or sixth in like the major aggregate sites. But that's a pretty impressive feat considering, like, for example, USC is number one in a lot of the national polls, but that's because they have 27 commitments, whereas Georgia only has 12. So it's really sometimes those algorithms are fed by quantity rather than quality, kind of like the Atlanta Braves relievers ERA right now.
Yeah, well said, because the Atlanta Braves relievers ERA right now is, I think you and I could go out there and probably maybe not do better, but maybe not worse. I think, honestly, if it was you or I on the mound right now. So talk to me about Carter Lucky. Obviously, we know the interior defensive line, not what it was a couple of years ago. How much help could this kid be in 2026?
Yeah, so he's a guy that, first of all, the boilerplate story here for Carter is that he will be the fifth member of his immediate family just across two generations to play for Georgia. His dad played for Georgia in like a generation ago for Coach Jim Donnan. His uncles both did as well. His older brother, Lawson, is probably the team's most productive returning tight end. So you talk about things that we don't see ever. Five members of a family playing for the Dogs. That's pretty way up there. You probably can only think of Champ Bailey and his family as the staggering amount of Dogs or just any SEC program. But Carter's a guy, Dog fans will remember Tyrion Ingram Dawkins. That's who the staff compares him to. He's versatile. He can kind of play the three tech, play a five tech. He's big size athlete. He's got kind of his brother's nimble wheels right there. And Carter's a funny dude. He will say, without a doubt, that he is the best athlete in the Lucky family because he can pick him up and put him down in around 275, whereas Lawson is about 240.
Well, we know that one thing is for sure. They definitely can use all the help they can get in terms of rebuilding that defensive line to being the elite unit it was when they went back-to-back. I know, obviously, your main job day-to-day is to cover Georgia football, but a big loss for Tech, just from the outside looking in, Jay Batt leaving town. What did you make of that decision of him to move to Michigan State?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously that's one of those things where there's been a lot of momentum with Tech. And, you know, Tech has gotten some facilities push, and they've gotten a little bit of surge in their football program because they're winning games. I mean, the Miami win stands out. But, you know, just from the financial side of things, Tech has been able to kind of move the dial. I was watching them a couple of years ago, and they were still pushing a lot of money in their facilities. And, you know, probably facilities aren't the best way to spend your money anymore. But for Tech, I'll be honest, I've went into some high school locker rooms and some high school weight rooms that were at least, and I'm not saying this to be substantial or saying this to be over the top, there are some high school facilities in the state that kind of rivaled what Georgia Tech's weight room looked like just a couple of years ago.
Wow.
So they've had to upgrade those areas. And, you know, what they're doing, you know, hey, you got to love Brent Key. First of all, he's a Tech guy. He believes in physical play. He believes in the line of scrimmage. And, you know, Tech's always had the, I guess I would say, disadvantage of trying to figure out a way to recruit and get those top players, even with those, you know, top shelf academic standards. So obviously this was a guy that was helping pointing Tech in the right direction in a lot of those areas. And it probably just seems to me from the outside looking in that, you know, that's a big boy football school, and it's a bigger football school food chain wise, a bigger athletics program food chain wise than Tech is right now.
When it comes to all of these college football proposals for the playoffs for the next couple of years, you see the 4-4, 2-2-3, you see the 11+5, you see conference champion. Is there one that stuck out to you that actually makes the most sense, or you think this is all just pure rampant speculation right now in terms of what the playoffs going to look like in 2026 and beyond?
Yeah, I'm going to sound like very much an OG, old school traditionalist here, even though I'm not at that get off my lawn age yet. But first thing you got to realize, the first filter you got to realize is, this is all a money grab. This is all entertainment. This is all programming. To me, I would have loved to seen avenues, layouts where they went to 6 or 8 because they make the most sense. I'm a big regular season guy. The game should matter. You should take a loss and that should matter. You should hold on to beat Ole Miss on the road or Alabama at home and that should matter. Now it kind of feels like the NFL playoffs, and it feels like that's the model and the revenue generation that they're looking for. I'm just always a big guy that there's no way in college football throughout my years of, you know, following the sport, covering the sport, you know, obsessed by the sport, there was no way in any of my lifetime before where we're at in the present day, Chris, where you said, you know, there are really 12 teams that deserve a shot at the national championship. there's really no season that equated to that. And I understand looking it through the lens of, hey, let's make it like college basketball. College basketball is amazing. Kind of not the same thing because you can't play six games in 3 weeks in football. You just can't. And, you know, for me, I've always said, like, you're really talking about teams now that may have been finished third in their conference with three losses that squeak into the playoffs. Maybe they get hot. Maybe they get their best cornerback back. Maybe they get their best running back back from earlier games. But the formula for them to end up a national championship, I just don't like it, man. I've never liked it. I feel like four was – definitely there was controversy around four. But when you start looking at six and you start looking at eight, that's as far as it needed to go. But now we're at 12 and they're thinking about 16. So that genie is not going to be back in the bottle. I feel like the SEC is pushing a league crusade, which means only play eight games, which means, you know, do the 5 plus 11. You'll get more teams in that way. And then you won't reduce the impact of the conference championship. Because, man, Chris, I don't know what your take is on this, man, but that conference championship game is kind of a yawner now because look at Georgia and Texas. Both teams were beaten up coming out of it. They've tried a market correction a little bit with seeding the playoffs, but I still don't think that's going to work.
Well, here's the thing is that the championship game is sacred in college sports for a lot of the conferences. There are a few, Jeff, as you know, didn't mean as much, or maybe they didn't even have one. A couple of them didn't even have one until recently. But to me, and I think based on what you just said, you'll agree, that's a staple of college football. And there's no reason with as big as the sport is today in 2025 that element of it and that pride that comes with being the best team in the SEC or the Big Ten shouldn't be celebrated on a year-in, year-out basis. And especially if the only reason that you're doing it, Jeff, the only reason that you're watering it down is to make more money.
Yeah, and then the other thing about that is you look at it and you go, well, hey, man, like, the one thing I liked about all those little threads and all those proposals is I liked it that they would advance the first and second team in the SEC, for example, straight to the playoffs. Like, Georgia doesn't have to face one, doesn't have to face two, that close to playoffs and that close to playoff seeding. And then it became a play-in game for the schools trying to get in. Because I'm still a fundamentalist where I look at it as, this is what I don't like about it per se. Like, you know, for example, you look at the Joe Burrow LSU team. You can look at a juggernaut team, right? What if Burrow takes an injury in a conference game that doesn't mean anything anymore in the long scheme of the playoff bracket? Well, the best team in college football takes that injury, and he never plays. And that entire postseason is radically changed. So just look at Georgia. Now, opinions will vary about Carson Beck, but Georgia was playing in a game. Carson Beck suffers the elbow injury and the Hail Mary play right before the half. And Georgia's postseason fortunes are sunk from that point. Yeah, they went on and won. Gunnar Stockton had a gritty effort, rallied the team. They earned the SEC championship, which will still go into a trophy case, and it will be revered in Athens, but nobody's going to look back at that and say, like, you know, Georgia's best chances of making the playoff and winning the playoff, beating Notre Dame in that opener of the college football bracket for them, they took a nosedive when Carson Beck went down. And sure, that's football, I get it, but I just didn't like it how that was a game in the grand scheme of things that didn't really mean anything. Like, see how Ohio State just proved that theory correct, where it doesn't matter if you lose the games late as long as you win your last three or four. And I'm just a big value to regular season guy. Like, when teams and fans were going into a game, the tailgates, the energy, the buzz, like, if you lose a big game in November now, it's like, well, we're still going to make the playoffs. So that dagger for your potential playoff hopes is no longer there.
Talking all things NCAA football and UGA, specifically with our good buddy Jeff Sentell of Dog Nation. Two things based off what you just said. Your first scenario with Burrow, based on how injured he's been in the NFL, is pretty damn likely.
Yeah.
So you were spot on there. And second of all, we saw that real-life example come to be with FSU a couple of years ago. And Jordan Travis, he goes down and the whole house of cards falls and the perfect season basically just goes to dust because they're nothing without him, and then we saw what happened to him in the NFL. All right, before I let you go, a big story out of Detroit this week in the NFL, their all-pro center Frank Ragnow retires Can Tate Ratledge play center?
Well, he's kind of just kind of workshopped it on the side for years and years. One thing about Tate, we saw all those metrics coming into the draft, and he was one of the five most athletic players in the entire draft. He's the son of a high school football line coach. He's been around football forever. He has been a heady, smart football player for forever. People won't remember this. I do because it's my job, but Tate Ratledge coming out of high school was like the number three offensive tackle in the country. Georgia just said, okay, instead of making you a pretty good offensive tackle, let's kick you inside and let's make you an all-SEC, all-American, early draft pick offensive lineman. I think it's out of need. They didn't draft Ratledge thinking this is going to be our center, but when they look around now, and he wasn't, they had other options at guard, guys that were still there a year ago, and they're like, let's try and see if he can do it. And if Tate can do it, he's done it a lot. He's done it a lot in practice. Has he done it in games? No, but he's done it at those like type of All-American events, those Senior Bowl events and everything else like that. So really, it's really Tate's value there is his versatility, where it's kind of like you saw with Jamari Sawyer at Georgia. He can play a lot of positions. Remember, Jamari was drafted as a guard. He started his whole rookie year at tackle after somebody went down. And what the NFL is just trying to do with those guys is they're like, okay, we just lost an anchor of our offensive line. Who do we have that's talented that can likely get it done moving forward? And I think Tate Ratledge is a good example. I mean, let's face it, football is just an attrition sport. You need that. That's kind of what one of my main tenets of that whole playoff argument is that I don't think college football players should be playing 16 and 17 games in a season.
Well, yeah, especially with what comes all with it. You know, in the NFL, your job is to play football. For a lot of these guys in college football, they also have to be a student athlete as well. So there's a whole other side of it that isn't even considered when you start talking about all this extra travel and all these extra games. Jeff, great stuff as always. We'll be reading you in Dog Nation. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, man, Chris, appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.